Welcome back. This is Chris. Did you know one day on Venus is longer than 1 year? Brad, I think you're a baby if you lived in Venus.
1 year where? Like, oh, here, you didn't say that. You said one day in Venus is longer than 1 year. Is it longer than 1 year
it's
in
implied.
Jupiter? It's not implied. There's eight planets, unless you say Pluto is a planet, because when I was growing up, it was a planet, but then I guess it wasn't a planet, and maybe it is now a planet again.
It's not a planet.
And this is Brad, maybe. And this week's episode is brought to you by the word, oh wait, I was just reading how to speak. I have to speak through my mouth and not my nose. This week's episode is brought to you by the word hoagy. It's an adjective, meaning corny entry, sense. Two, obliviously contrived. James, I've been listening to you for 18 minutes with your hokey setup. What do you have to say about that?
It's beautiful and you love it. Thank you. Everyone, this is James, and this is our weekly Whiskey and Widgets podcast, where your whiskey is lazy AF and your widgets create great-looking desktop backgrounds.
What is AF?
Yes.
That's
AF.
Yeah. Autofocus.
Autofocus.
That's what that means. What else could it possibly mean?
This is not
autofocus, right?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, things could be implied, as Chris said, about this year, but.
Well, tonight I'm being super lazy with my drink. I'm putting way less effort into it than I have in pretty much any episode. I am today.
And
today,
flop.
Channeling my inner Brad.
We missed something. You went into the drink without doing the mail call. We've been doing this for several months now, and neither one of you.
We got a transition, man. We're transition. I'm letting James finish.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I guess I was premature.
You know, that's a problem James, some people experience, Brad. It's okay.
You're so fast.
I apologize. I sincerely apologize to you. And now I'm going to talk through my mouth for the rest of this episode.
It is totally okay. So I am going to keep it nice and simple with my drink tonight, which you'll see that when I post my photos on our Instagram later. And Chris, where can you find that?
Yeah, Whiskey and Widgets, man. It's we actually have a good following over there. You know, it's slow but steady, but it's fun. And we post a lot of pictures. It doesn't have to be, by the way, it doesn't have to be whiskey. I think I post. I wonder if
probably
people know
not.
Who's
we
posting
never,
what.
We never really call it out, do we?
Most of the time.
So it's the same account.
No, we don't. We don't. It's the same account for actually maybe just the two of us. Brad just sends me a photo of what he's drinking. Tells me, like, here's the menu.
Did you post that one from the weekend? I sent you the menu. I ordered the drink. And then I sent you a picture of what was on the menu so you knew what the drink was. See, I got lazy. I just took pictures.
Yeah, I was going to. Well, I'm going to post it today on your behalf.
Thank you.
And of course, I am curious though, if anybody ever knows who's posting what. But typically, I have like a beer. I know, James, you always post some whiskey stuff, which is good. And it's just a mixture. And whatever Brad drinks at a baseball
general,
game. Or
I normally am just drinking a cocktail of whatever nature I'm interested in at the time. So it's oftentimes going to be whiskey, but frankly, I'm getting super into rum and gin right now. And like the only liquor that I just don't have a taste for is tequila. And obviously vodka is supposed to be neutral. So anybody that says
tequila.
They have a taste for tequila, they don't taste things.
I don't like tequila. Ugh. I like vodka. And it's funny how now you got me into whiskey and you're switching.
No, I'm not
rum.
Switching. Most of the time I'm on whiskey.
Do you like the dark rums?
Well, it depends
like
on what I'm
rums?
Making. I really like a dark rum. Like the last time I made a mojito, I did a split that was a very small amount of Plantation Dark with my favorite white, which is a Havana Club. It goes really well together, and it's a nice mix.
But do you see what we just did there? Chris was trying to do our Instagram plug, and we just totally ran away from him. So let's bring it back.
This brings us back to it.
Chris.
No, this is...
You can always bring it back as often as you need back to it. So just recast that line.
Okay, so I won't call it out. I'll just do it. Maybe I'm out of sync tonight. Maybe you need a hug. Of sorts.
Oh, I was
no. I'm the last.
I was going to say maybe your dog could give you a hug. What?
My who?
What? What?
Who can give me a hug?
He's gone.
He's gone forever.
I get updates. Okay. I get updates.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Do you really?
He went to the vet the other day. Weighs 10.5 pounds. He left me at 6.5 pounds.
All right.
See, I had to say pounds because, you know, I could have said that the 6.5 was implied because I just said 10.5.
I mean, but all of our European listeners would have thought that you were talking grams or something. Super tiny dog.
He was a super tiny dog. Chris, how many feet in a mile?
Yes. 5280.
Good. We can teach an old dog.
Yeah, man. I am learning. I am learning. Hey, we do have a mail call.
Whoa.
Which is really cool.
Which and it communication has something to
do with tech.
Where did you get this mail call?
Yes. Go ahead, James. The mail call came in a couple days ago. I think what's today? Whatever the date today is.
We didn't ask when, Chris. Yeah, where it came in from.
Which mechanism did they send it to us? Was it smoke?
Email.
No. Smoke signals.
smoke signals. There's actually a question that came up, and it was asked of our.
He didn't answer the question.
Take considering.
Yeah, it was email.
What? How did you get this?
Oh, email.
Okay. What's the email? Address. If somebody else wants to send a question.
whiskeyandwidgets@gmail.com.
And remind me to send you the password for the Twitter after this call.
Yes. We'll connect it, man, because we just have to post it once. You should automatically post it on behalf of Twitter or Instagram or something like that. I think it posts on your Twitter account. But the question is around supplies of technology and when new technology comes out, particularly in smartphones or computer, they're asking about when do we think to a point where it doesn't no longer make sense to, like, you know, 50% of performance or whatever. And, you know, spend every year of buying a new machine and so forth. So they're asking, you know, when do we think that's going to slow down? Where specs is no longer a need, or I guess, or hardware specs, the importance of hardware specs.
I think that's a James question, because I think he did talk about the price to the specs to the number of years.
We did cover this on one of our episodes, and I won't be one of those rude people that tries to tell you you should go back and listen to everything we've ever said, but you definitely could.
But in case you do, we'll post it down.
The quick answer here is this. As hardware progresses and your software progresses, software is going to add an increasing demand on it. Now, Chris, this is specifically related to phones though, right? Or like mobile devices? So
mobile devices, because I think where they're coming from when people are asking this question is, you know, every year there's always a new phone coming.
Sure.
Apple always releases a new phone, usually at the end of the year, Samsung, whatever. But it's starting to blur the lines where, like, okay, if it's not a big difference from last year, would companies slow down making it? Because of course there may be a trend going down where people no longer buy new phones because
the company's not going to slow
down. It's really the
same.
They're
going to keep producing it. And the reason they're going to keep producing it is because they're going to keep making money, and they have to do that every year. But I think the important ask here is, like, I mean, should you keep keeping up with it? Is it okay to have a phone that's 5 years old? My answer is simple. Does it still meet your need? There's a number of people I know that when they look at their phone, they're like, hey, I need to get the latest one. And then I ask them, well, how do you use your phone? And I find out they make phone calls. That's it.
Yeah. Well, but I think that's from an individual aspect, though. Maybe the question, and again, I'm just trying to figure out, maybe that's what they're asking. Maybe they're asking, like, what do we think of when companies like Apple and Microsoft or Dell, whatever, will slowly stop doing that? Maybe focus on something else.
I don't think they will.
Less much until, of a
hardware. I don't think they'll stop. There's 7.5 billion people in the world, and to James's point, not every person is going to redo their phone every year, so you still have an audience that's going to upgrade their phone. And James, you made me think of something you said. It's like, well, what do you use your phone for? I agree with you. You use the device, or you purchase the device to make sure that it satisfies your needs. I was just thinking, I think using the phone to make a phone call is the least use of my phone.
Common, actually.
That is true.
I think
it's through text.
I think I talk on, and if you're saying using it, I use it. If I use voice communication, typically I'll use WhatsApp or FaceTime, right? Is that considered making a phone call, or is that considered because it's not using the telephone system, it's using the internets? And if I talk throughout the day, I'll use Teams primarily, because Teams you can use to speak to anybody as well. So that's kind of interesting. So I have a telephone that I use.
You use it closer to like how you use a tablet. It's a very small tablet for you. Brad has a very small tablet that he uses and sometimes makes phone calls from it.
Yeah, so I think we answered that right. So if you're the person that sent this in, we really don't know. I think they're going to continue. Well,
and a case in point.
We really don't know. You can ask us questions. I really don't know.
I don't know when Apple's
never
going to
stop selling hardware. That's a main part of their ecosystem.
I think they'll continue.
Frankly, Google has a higher chance of no longer selling
when nobody
hardware.
Buys them anymore. I can't wait for the next iPhone to come out because I'm getting one.
Are you really?
I have a 12.
What do you have right now? So you skip every two versions?
But now I bought a 64 gig because I thought I would have enough space, but I'm finding I don't have enough space because I think as technology progresses, these apps use more and more space, and I do more and more with my phone with photography and drone and such that I need all the space. I have that iCloud storage where I have, you know, so much that I pay for, but it's really not a good seamless transition for some of those files. And then some of these apps just gobble up memory. Well, look at James's drink. He gave us a toast. What is it, James?
I made a whiskey sour.
Did you use a mix or did you use your own syrup?
I did not have any mix in the house, so I used a 2-to-1 rich simple that I had on hand, and some lemon juice, and the not quite the last of the bourbon that I had decanted.
Got a little bit more, just a few more drops there. A few more drops.
Why would you leave a few drops in there?
What are you drinking, Brad?
I have in my red Solo Dolo cup because I have the Whistle Pig 6 year. I did have 9 over the weekend.
Whistle Pig is nice.
This is my Whistle Pig 6.
Nice.
I love Whistle Pig.
Yes.
So that's what I have with the big block of ice.
Is it one of your favorites?
It is one of my favorites now. What about yourself? Nice.
I'm drinking Larceny, small batch. Same maker as John E. Fitzgerald. They make really good whiskey. In this case, it's a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey on the rocks. It's smooth. You should check it out. They're not that expensive. They're as good as maybe Woodinville, if you haven't had one.
I haven't had one. We need to have a whiskey list. Somebody needs to create a whiskey list, and we need to come up with a way to rate them. Using James's method of shut your eyes, take a sip, See how long it tastes and the flavor stays in your mouth. Smell it.
I just want to say,
roll it in your tongue.
It didn't seem weird to me until you started doing it. Just saying.
You got to sound like that too.
Roll that whiskey
every time. Every time you rate it.
Yes. So James, I challenge you to put together a whiskey list to put up on our Twitter, Instagram, YouTube channel for those that can't listen to the podcast. On the podcast medium, so that we can have a rating.
So are we saying like somehow putting out a list of specific whiskey brands that I like, or whiskeys just in general, like styles of whiskeys, brands of whiskeys, both?
I think we need to come up with a matrix. We need to list the whiskeys. We're not together, so we'd have to probably do them either pre-planned, which good luck with this group, and have them all on the same night and come up with a way for us to evenly rate them. And then we'll have a matrix of the whiskey and what each of us scored. And then we'll get an average score. And then we can have a weekly whiskey and widgets whiskey rating. So then come Christmas time, people know which whiskeys to send me.
Send it away. Yeah, based on our favorites, send us some whiskey.
That's fair.
Whiskey. So, Brad, you talked about your limit of use as with your smartphone as an actual phone, making phone calls, and you're using it through some other apps, with broadband internet and things like that. There was also another mail call question that came in. This was late last week.
Two separate mail calls?
Yeah, or man.
One mail call, two questions?
No, two separate mail call. This one came in last week, and they had asked about our thoughts regarding broadband accessibility and what we would consider as broadband. I think what FCC considers high-speed internet, it's like 5 megs per second.
Well, they just passed the bill to bring internet to underserved areas.
And there's still quite a bit. I think it's only covering, broadband only is covering 93% of the U.S. So there's still a significant amount of people that really don't have access to broadband. And number two, they also passed the bill of increasing the minimum speed, because right now it's like 5 is considered as broadband, high speed broadband.
I don't know. My last recording of bills when I was watching Schoolhouse Rock when I was little, and it's "I'm just a bill sitting here on Capitol Hill." That's my singing for the night.
I'm so impressed. I'm deeply moved, Brad. My soul is moved. But yeah, you are correct that broadband, according to the FCC, is 25 meg with download, with a 3 meg upload. Is that actually a good definition of broadband? I don't actually think it is. I don't think it's sufficient.
It depends on what your use is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is FCC's minimum expectation.
With some of the requirements. 25. That may be enough for many.
What do you do with that? Is that saying that every household needs to have access to internet that's 25 and 3? But like, where are we going with this?
Well, I mean, that would be the idea. The idea is that we're basically saying that, and in the direction that those laws are going, is to say that there is a standard, quality of life that we're expecting everyone to be able to have, that broadband internet is a utility that everyone should be able to have access to, and they should be able to have at least that much of it, right? Now, if you're talking like, what are you using it for? Great callback, like exactly the same to the point of the question on, what you're using your phone for. I think understanding your use case is important. Not everybody needs 1 gig internet, right?
I don't think so. And then what are you going to do in the mountains? Does that mean when I go out in the mountains that I'll be able to have broadband?
I mean that's a consideration, but like, well, so here's
I think it's based in residential.
If you want to watch Netflix in 4K, they suggest that you have an internet connection of at least 15 megs, 15 megabit per second or higher for one 4K stream. So in general, for a household, assuming that's, you know, all they're doing, maybe 15 meg is enough. But if you also have other things you want to be doing at the same time, you know, you're going to probably need more than that. So coming back to what the FCC says, the minimum definition for broadband is 25 would mean you can browse the internet while streaming Netflix in 4K. Is that the definition of how we should use the internet? Probably not. But what? Realistically, what's most of the bandwidth in the United States used for? Streaming services.
Netflix.
Porn.
I just said streaming services, so mine includes porn, but also not porn. So I think more in, it's more
inclusive.
I don't
watch porn, James. You may include porn, but I don't include
porn. Porn would be a streaming service, my friend.
Got it. I thought you said you use it for streaming services. Therefore, can I infer? It's implied. As Chris stated earlier in the evening, everything is going to be implied from now on.
The implications are the life we live, right? By the way.
You should put that as your word for next week.
Everything's implied because one day on Venus is worth 1 year somewhere.
Shoot. Okay, so what does that mean, though, James? Does that mean that if they're not getting 25 megs per second as minimum, should they reach out to their ISPs and demand that they get 25 megs per second?
Here's the reality, something important for Saul to consider in life. If you're not getting 25 of anything, do you need 25 of that thing? Sometimes it's not worth your time to fix a problem that doesn't negatively impact you. But if it does impact you, if you're somebody that's like, hey, I've got really, really poor internet. It's supposed to be broadband. I'm not getting real world speeds that make sense. You should make sure that your ISP provides those for you and you should reach out to them. And if they can't provide it at a reasonable price, you can do like that guy recently did. Wonderful news articles. What a gentleman who decided it was too expensive to get fiber to his house. They gave him an estimate that was too much. So he started his own ISP. Always an option if you have the skill set.
That is incredible, though. It must be expensive.
But if he can't get broadband to his house and he's going to start his own ISP, where does he do this?
Oh.
And then that means he has access to that internet. So why does he need
it? Well, that was the point. He instead of going through an ISP that would deliver it, they had what he thought was a high estimate to run fiber from their local, whatever their closest node was, to his house. So he went, all right, what if I ran the fiber myself to a backend carrier and then also ran it to other people in my neighborhood and then provided them that service? What is that? That's called an ISP. So he decided to become an ISP. He did it well enough that he then applied to be able to get some federal grants to be able to help provide further networking to rural areas. Point is, you have to understand networking in order to be able to do this. It's not actually impossibly hard. And you also either have to have the capital or a good business plan or both in order to make sure you can put it together. Like, there'd be no reason we wouldn't be able to become an ISP if we wanted to. But I don't want to spend my life being an ISP. That sounds terrible. It sounds horrible.
No, I don't want to do that.
Isn't that the same thing how SpaceX started?
I don't know the background on SpaceX.
You know, he wanted to buy rockets from the Russians and they laughed at him. And it was too expensive or something like that. So I ended up building it his own and took the first flight, 181 miles. And
I think this sounds like we should have an Elon Musk twip. Oh, Jesus.
An Elon Musk what? A twib? What's a twib? Is that a new word of the day, Brad? I'm not keeping up. Trivia. Trivia. Oh, night. Trivia.
It came out as Twivia.
All right.
So, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me. But I think we should have an Elon Musk trivia night.
We should invite
a guest. I would fail too, but if we know the night we're having it and we could have a special guest, then we could prepare questions.
That's fair. I think I know some people that would be down for it. We could have Chris and the special guest compete, and then you and I could ask the questions, Brad.
Yes. Oh, let's do that. Man, challenge, 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 another challenge thrown out there. Right? Let's see who accepts the challenge. And Chris, I can't even speak this evening. It's not Chris. Chris.
Your drink tonight must just be that good. You just have such a good like cocktail. You got to tell us about it. What are you drinking that's causing you to not be able to speak?
Just a whistle pig six.
There you go.
And a red solo cup.
If you two want
kid.
To not be able to but, articulate thought, drink whistle pig six in a red solo cup. That's the recipe.
Well, the problem is you put it in there, you pour a lot more than you think. Because then you pour it in a solo cup, you think you're drinking like a regular drink instead of putting it in. See, that's why shot glasses are so small. I made up that myself, by the way. They're so small because you can control how big the cup is. You put it in a big cup like this.
No, shot glasses are the size they are because it measures 1 ounce of alcohol.
Yeah, so you control how much you're drinking. You're controlling 1 ounce. This, I just pour it in and... How many ounces in this? 16?
Depends on the solo cup. I think I've seen multiple sizes. Yeah.
Minus ice?
I don't know, man.
This is why I always measure my liquor with jiggers. Jeez. So I know exactly what I'm drinking because, you know, I made that mistake.
I measure my drinks with solo cups.
How do you measure
what you
ice?
Do is you know that your ice cube tray, that every cube in the tray is 1 ounce of water because you measured it with your jigger.
What if you get a big
and then
square?
You do a multiplication factor for the expansion rate of the ice.
Then there's going to be some evaporation through this process.
That's a lot of thinking.
If any of you are trying to figure out how to actually do what I just said, please don't. That sounds like a terrible waste of effort.
I think how many of you already shut off the podcast after listening to what we've been talking about so far? If you have, raise your hand.
Nobody raised their hand. We're doing great.
Oh, I can't see you. No one raised their hand. So I was going to ask, you know, we talked about Venus. Implied that's 1 year. It's a day.
It's 1 year today.
And there's only eight planets. Only eight planets that we know of.
What year did
more.
Pluto not become a planet? Because when I was growing up, it was a planet. James?
Yeah, I can check on the fact, but before I look for it, let me just go ahead and predict. I believe that happened like 4 years ago. I'm going to plus minus two for COVID time. So my thought though is 2018, but it might have been 2016.
I thought it was late 90s.
COVID. I can't use COVID as an excuse if it was that far back. So it can't nearly be that far ago.
James, it was 2006. In 2006, the International Astronomical Union. Downgrading the ninth planet.
You know what?
Listen,
it's difficult. The thing is, it happened after I went through my education years. And so to me, like, it had to have been yesterday. There's no way it could have been that long ago, but I guess. What's your cite your source? What's your source on this one, Brad? Come on. 2006?
2006. It's a government website. Yes.
NASA posted that.
All right, I'm depressed by this.
But now, yes, Pluto is a planet, says NASA scientist at the site of its discovery 91 years ago. So no, it was downgraded in 2006. Right.
But here's the thing: I appreciate.
I knew it wasn't 2016 or 15 or 18.
I'm okay with them downgrading it. I think it's reasonable. It saddens me a little bit because of, you know, what I was raised with. But you know what? That be science, friends.
So, but there's also in talks about there's planets beyond Pluto.
So that's exciting
or
stuff.
Beyond Neptune. So that is exciting stuff. And if you haven't heard, there is a what they call James Webb Telescope. And I'm sure everyone has seen these images, man. That's my wallpaper right now. The cosmic eclipse.
I'm on the NASA website. And did you know that Pluto is 3,214,967,222 miles from the sun?
I did not know that. That's far.
Its length of a year is 90.530 Earth days.
So
this is interesting. So it takes 90 days. Cool,
so here's some fun things. Y'all know what an exoplanet is?
No, I'm going back to see. I want to fact find Chris.
Right, you can
Venus.
You can,
because now we know the length of a year
is 255 days.
90,530 Earth days. No, my eyes are bad. It's not 90. Jeez.
All right. So
Venus.
That's
hold
short.
On. I'm gonna. You keep talking. I'm looking up at Venus.
255 days.
Venus. No? Venus is 66,846,136 miles from the sun. Length of a year is 225 Earth days. This is according to NASA, Chris. I don't know who's correct with the fact days. Finding here.
No, I go with not NASA. I mean,
it's,
well,
I'm citing
man.
My source. It's NASA.gov. I'm assuming the government wouldn't
of
like it.
Of course not. All my conspiracy theorists out there, you can go ahead and send us some mail about what you think the reality is, because, you know, it's important. We can share it next episode. But here's something fun.
Just like there's no aliens.
Did you know that the Earth is 94,122,108 miles from the sun? And did you know
let's not just get distracted with random facts.
Let's
not just get distracted with random facts. We're gonna keep moving forward with things that are interesting about some widgets here.
This is interesting.
The topic is interesting. I agree. Hey, Chris.
So.
How many feet in a mile?
Yeah, go ahead, James. Yeah.
Okay. So now that we've got that out of our system, the
how many feet is the Earth from the sun if there's 94,122,100
miles? The James Webb Telescope is really fucking awesome. If you haven't seen it and you don't know anything about it yet, I encourage you to listen to take a look at it.
Did you just curse? Never. You just said the F word, but earlier you couldn't say AF. Like you went from rated G to rated X.
I don't even know what you're talking
just
about.
Like that.
Brad, I hadn't started drinking yet, and now I have whiskey in my hand. What do you want from me? Don't judge.
I need to dump this out.
But look, have you guys seen the images?
And that's the thing.
Been putting
James,
out?
They're awesome.
Hey, Chris and James. Let's take a quick pause from this episode to tell the listening audience about Buzzsprout. I want to tell them that starting a podcast is one of the best and most enjoyable decisions we've made. We understand that you too may be interested in starting your podcast and that managing a podcast may sound complicated or overwhelming. It certainly was for us at first. That was until we found Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch into your new podcast adventure. You can start with some gear you already have and a quiet space. Buzzsprout is so good they've helped over 100,000 people launch their podcast. Buzzsprout will help get your podcast into every major podcasting platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. You can find our podcast on all of these platforms thanks to Buzzsprout. Also, with Buzzsprout, you get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop onto websites, detailed analytics, promotional tools, and the list goes on and on. Buzzsprout publishes new blog posts, podcast episodes, and videos every week. These resources help you learn the ins and outs of podcasting from the people who eat, drink, and breathe it. To start your podcast and get a $20 Amazon gift card, follow the link in this podcast show notes. Let Buzzsprout know that we sent you and help support our show. Buzzsprout is truly an easy-to-use and great way to start a podcast. Oh, and where could they find these, Chris? Is it web.nasa.gov?
No, it's just nasa.gov. There's on the top right hand corner.
And where does it take you?
You'll see,
where does it
take you? Missions.
Where does it take you?
Missions, James Webb Space Telescope. And there's a section for everything about James Webb Space Telescope. He talks about the overview, what it's all about, the science behind it, and then the images.
Can you give me the cliff notes
that all they've right. captured?
What it is? I'll be quiet now. I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah, that's fair. So here's some
what are the cliff notes?
Yeah, here's some cliff notes. It's actually named after a gentleman named James Webb who designed the telescope. Not me, even though my first name is James. That said, it's pretty awesome because this has been many, many years in the making. Anybody on the science side is going to be like, oh my God, specific facts. They're so important. Be specific. But
awesome is not a fact. You
right,
can't
right.
say that. That's an opinion.
So
here's, tell me about
here's a couple facts for you.
Without
you, opinions. If you go onto NASA and you can look at some of these images use multiple different technologies from the telescope to be able to create the image. And you'll see that you'll know the image you're looking at is from the James Webb Telescope because it will have a six-pointed like lens flare on various stars. And what that is that's actually based off of the shape of the telescope. And that's created, that's there as a result of the way the telescope is designed. And that's kind of a tell there. It's not a problem, and it's not like those, you know, particular stars are like doing something, you know, revolutionary. They're not like exploding. That's just because of the way the imaging is done. Now, for anyone that understands the technology, they're going to listen to my recap and they're going to be like, oh my God, like he cut out all of the technical details. Yeah, that's right. I did, because I'd rather just express that there's a point there than attempt to articulate something that's not my subject matter. But I want to say there is an image that is named the star forming region of Carina NearCam, and there's this final image of it that is this really, really cool visual. And for anybody that's listening, if you've not seen this yet, you should check it out.
Interesting. So there's been a lot of things that they've answered too, right? Like they found like one of the oldest universe star system or whatever. They've ever observed.
Yeah.
Way beyond we've ever seen. And the question comes, how long will it take until we find civilization?
I think it's a wonderful question. And interestingly, when you think about finding other civilizations, what does it mean if we do? What does that mean for Earth religions, if there's life on other planets?
And would they tell us the truth? Would they tell us the truth? Like Brad says, government
always
tells you the truth.
Of course.
And is there, and then at that point, is there going to be, what happens to the belief that is there even a God at this point, considering it's unfathomable.
It cannot be fathomed. Right. Got it. Keep
just
going.
It cannot be fathomed of just the crazy mass, or I mean, there's so much space out there. Let's just put it that way. So oversimplifying it, that there's got to be a chance that there is another civilization out there.
So here,
whether advanced
see,
or not.
That's curious because, like, when you define that according to whose standards, right? We say that life exists on this planet because we classify life as a certain thing. Now, what about on these other planets or these other areas, to have to stop pronouncing things like I'm from the East Coast, in these other areas, what if there is life but to a different definition? Are we selfish in thinking that we are defining what life is?
Maybe.
We
what is
oxygen.
Intelligent life becomes even more fun conversation.
Well, what if there's more intelligent life?
Yeah, what do you consider intelligent?
What if other lives what are if watching like, us?
What if we're like in Star dream? Trek,
what if we are?
We're just like an early form of intelligent life, and eventually you evolve past having a body, and you know the things like radio signals are like not actually important anymore, and like you can just telepathically communicate, but you know, infinite distances. Who knows? We don't. That might be well beyond what we know. But I'll say this related to like the whole religion conversation. Personally, I look at the really cool stuff being released by the James Webb Telescope as evidence of how awesome this universe and world is that we live in. And when I look at that and I consider this idea of, is there a God and what does that look like? And we look at this, like the religious backgrounds and teachings from any different religion, Christian beliefs indicate that there is one God and that he created everything that's on our planet. If you think about it from the perspective of a deity that's doing that, they're not going to try to teach somebody that's like a caveman or like a toddler everything about the universe at once. They're going to try and explain it in a way that's contextually able to be understood by them. There's no reason why that life couldn't exist and our religious beliefs can't also still be true. So I still look at it as an encouragement that the world and the universe is a big place, and that's cool. It's awe-inspiring to recognize how much bigger it is than me. Also, because you know what? Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, man, I'm fat. Then I realize the universe is so much bigger than me. It's okay.
But it is cool to think about that, though. It's hard to grasp the idea that they can use this telescope and look at the nearest planet, which is, I think they were using this to identify if there is a planet beyond Pluto before you get to the Oort cloud and all that stuff. And if we can find one, you know, is it going to be a public announcement? And how, you know, you see this movies all the time, like, you know, the whole world panics because now there's like this intelligent life elsewhere. And of course, there's been, for decades upon decades, maybe centuries, that there's, you know, we've had visitors in the past. You know, will this telescope give us a little bit more insight, you know, of validating that these people exist, or people, this intelligence exists beyond Earth? And I'm curious, I would love to see that in my lifetime, to see if, you know, if we weren't alone to begin with. Because, as you know, the government released that UFO sightings and that they had the whole Operation Blue Book, something like that, where they released all the images of captured UFOs, videos, images, and things like that, and how they studied intelligent life visiting us. But these images, though, they're beautiful, man. Beautiful. Don't you wish, Brad, you have a camera that can take photos like these? Amazing.
Well, I think it's interesting, and I think that it's great to have an appreciation for things so far away, but in some respects I think we should also have an appreciation for what we have right here with us and take care of it. You know, we spend all this money on trying to build a telescope that can see 94 billion miles away, which may be cool and intriguing, but you know, spend a couple of those dollars and pick up some bottles from the ocean. Save the turtles, man.
You know,
save the turtles.
I can appreciate your sentiment, but I don't think solving mysteries of the universe needs to be mutually exclusive from preventing the destruction of our ecosystems. And
no, I'm not saying that we should not be doing that. I'm just saying, you go back to the conversation that you had, is when now we're saying that broadband, you know, is a right and you should have a certain speed of broadband and we can't afford to pay for it, but all of a sudden we can afford to pay $17 trillion. How much does the telescope cost, Chris? How much does it cost to run?
Ooh, I don't know, fact man. Fund.
I'm fascinated with NASA. I'm fascinated with NASA. I'm about to pack it up. I'm fascinated with NASA and all that it can do and all of the technology. But I think everything's a matter of priority and what the priorities are for whom and what they are. And I think you just need to be clear with your message. That's all. So we're so focused on finding other life forms that maybe we should figure out what to do with ours.
Yeah, it's $10 billion, by the way.
$10 billion, the cost?
Back in 2016.
Oh, okay.
$10 billion, yeah.
$10 billion.
Yeah, but there's also in the scientific community how we know a lot more, a lot about our outer space than our ocean. And so I am, that's another component that it's very interesting as well. It's like there's a lot of areas in the ocean that we haven't even been to.
Thankfully, because we haven't ruined it then. That's what that means, hopefully. I'm on the NASA website. I went to the web.nasa.gov to see the pictures, but now I go to nasa.gov and I don't see a link to the telescope. I see humans in space, moon to Mars, Earth, space tech, flight, solar systems and beyond, STEM engagement, history, benefits to you. Where is it?
Are you looking at images?
I'm looking at nasa.gov.
I kind of just go through. I think they posted on Flickr. I didn't even
know. Well, that's where you go. You go to galleries and it takes you to Flickr, but you told me that it was like right on the nasa.gov website. I see the image of the day, NASA photos on NASA, but I don't see anything from the James Webb Telescope. You lied to me.
Yeah, so if you go to web.nasa.gov and you're in that main page, there's one called First Chris. Images. So if you click on that. But
when you listen to this, I said, I'm on web.nasa.gov. You said, no, just go to nasa.gov.
No.
Play it back. Chris, just play it back. Now I'm going back to web.nasa.gov because that's where I was.
Yeah.
But I was going with you saying, no, just go to NASA. My voice cracked. I'm done after this.
All right, friends. I think the point here is you can all use Google probably better than Brad and or Chris, can't tell which right now, to find on NASA's website.
James, I was on web.nasa.gov. Chris just doesn't know how to read
I believe in the general populace's ability to Google this. And what I'm trying to encourage is a simple suggestion is that we take a moment to go take a look at what exists outside of us. Recognize that there's some really cool experimentation and things that we learn about the universe. There's some cool stuff happening right now. Maybe we can talk about this in another week, but like, dude, we had fusion reaction actually take place recently. That's cool stuff. And as this moves forward and science progresses, sometimes it's little things, but sometimes these little things can be really big. And you can participate and get to see some really cool imagery. Yep. And like I said, when we started the episode, the James Webb Telescope makes a cool image. Worst case scenario, good desktop background.
Yep. What's going on with Brad?
He's just dying laughing.
No.
It's all good.
I don't know, man.
So
hold on a second.
It's fine. So while Brad comes back in because he had way too much in his red solo cup, allow me to give the PSA that he gives on a regular basis. Drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. And as you are looking at what to drink while joining us, we all encourage you at the Whiskey and Widget Podcast to measure and don't overdo it. Enjoy it and look at it as an experience, right?
You know, James, but this all reminds me about something that I heard at a graduation one time. The key speaker, I forget who it was. I didn't make note of it, but they made a remarkable statement. And I have another one from another graduation. Same person. One was a high school graduation. The other one was a college graduation. This was the high school graduation. It's something I want you to think about. Bad things happen when good people do nothing. That's all I have for tonight. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone.